Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
They're gonna kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to the Tuesday RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. I am not Jake Letarski. You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeSki52. I am joined today by John McKechnie at Johnny McKechs, JohnnyMckechs. Please pull over to the side of the road if you're going to write that down. Should have said that before I said the handle, but I'm not a very good host. I'm Derek Van Riper, at Derek Van Riper on Twitter. Try to spell it. If you can, cool, you find me. If you don't, I'll be okay. You'll be okay, too. John, before we start today, how was your 4th of July? How was the weekend as a whole?
I didn't go too crazy this time around just because I knew that the 4th was going to be on a Monday. I'd have to come into work today, so I didn't want to go too far off the handle. I actually worked a little bit on Sunday as well, but yesterday hung out with some friends, had some nice cigars, just kind of a low-key celebration, nothing too wild. How about yourself?
Yeah, I had same kind of thing. I hung out with some friends. Actually, Sunday, I had some friends out of town who had a party. They always have a party on the 3rd because no one has anything to do on the 3rd.
Right.
And then everyone shows up to their party, and then you get to do a repeat on the 4th. So it was great. Saw a lot of my friends. Got to spend some time with my wife on Saturday. Didn't have to work Saturday. Partial day of work yesterday, but mostly a barbecue. I tried a new beer. I tried the Door County Polka King. It's a porter.
Okay.
Pretty nice. And how do you drink a porter on the 4th of July? I guess it only works if it's like 65 or 70 degrees, well, which was amazing.
Yeah, it was like 70 degrees yesterday. It definitely wasn't as hot as we're used to seeing on the 4th of July. So porter definitely drinkable at that temperature.
So let's dive into this slate. There's one day game today. Cubs Reds will be probably in progress around the time people start listening to this recording. If you're looking at the night slate, 14 games otherwise, pretty typical sort of Tuesday. Three top tier options. You got Mad Bum at home at 11,400 on FanDuel, going up against the Rockies. Carlos Carrasco going up against the Tigers at 10-2, and David Price at an even 10,000 going up against the Rangers. A Rangers team that knocked him around pretty good, I think two or three starts ago. He saw him recently
right
in Arlington, and David Price's struggles have been off and on this season, but I still look at him as someone that you can go after in certain matchups. I mean, today you're going to get a low ownership number because that's got a high over-under. The Rangers' offense is actually pretty good against lefties, even though some of their big bats are hitting from the left side. I still think this is one of those days where you just pay up for Madison Bumgarner. I mean, it just makes a lot of sense. Home at AT&T Park, he's so good. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. And even if you think this Rockies team is better than a typical Colorado offense, it's not one that you fear with a guy like Bumgarner on the mound.
Right, yeah. I mean, a lot of their guys, and it's kind of reflected in the prices that you'll see throughout this slate. You know, Arenado, you're never going to see him under 3,000 unless he's going against Bumgarner. He's got really tough career numbers against him. Blackman's also a lot cheaper than you're used to seeing. Just a lot of those big bats that are kind of regulars in our lineups are just kind of out the window today, even with like the tempting price tags, in my opinion.
Yeah, 2,000 for Trevor Story. He came back from that finger injury recently. I mean, that's just a throwaway sort of price. So if you think Bumgarner is going to get smashed, well, then stack Rockies because they're very cheap. Is Carrasco and Price go? I mean, you're going to be using those guys in GPPs at all? I mean, with the Tigers, I see them as one of those offenses that can hit just about any pitcher they're matched up against. Carrasco, of course, coming off a very good start against the Blue Jays last time out. I mean, what do you make of Carrasco at that price?
I'm a fan of Carrasco at 10-2. That's really not breaking the bank for the second most expensive pitcher on a slate. And I just think that it's at this point, it's a good idea to use an Indians pitcher. It seems like they're just on this tear. Obviously, the wheels came off a little bit in Toronto this weekend, but I'm still very confident in that group. And I think Carrasco is one of the best pitcher, arguably the best pitcher that they have. He's got a 3.8 ERA at Progressive Field. Last time he faced the Tigers, he went the distance for a complete game shutout, striking out seven guys with just one walk. Like you said earlier, he struck out 14 in his last outing against the Blue Jays. So I know the Tigers are picking things up a bit, but I mean, the Indians are pretty heavily favored at minus 160 today. And I think Carrasco's a guy that I'm definitely going to be using. And, you know, I think it also is helped by the fact that the Tigers have to throw Anibal Sanchez on the hill tonight because Jordan Zimmermann's out.
Yeah, I realized this morning I did a small ballparks tour a few summers ago. I think it was 3 years ago now, summer of 2013, and I saw a game at PNC, which was awesome, by the way. It was like Cole Hamels and Garrett Cole on the 4th of July.
Oh, man.
And coming back from that trip, I went Cincinnati first, saw Homer Bailey throw a no-hitter against the Giants, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Went over to Pittsburgh for the 4th of July, saw a good game. PNC is gorgeous. If you haven't been there, definitely check it out. Coming back, stopped in Cleveland to see a game. And it was Anibal Sanchez against Carlos Carrasco. And I think it might have been the 5th of July or 6th of July, right?
Wow.
Like almost 3 years ago to the day. Same matchup. And they have just completely flipped since then. I mean, Carrasco couldn't throw quality strikes. Like he'd find too much of the plate with his fastball and get demolished. The secondary stuff just wasn't located very well. And it, since then, complete opposite, right? Anibal Sanchez just can't do anything right now. And Carrasco's become one of the better pitchers in the American League in the time since. So I'm with you on Carrasco, at least as a cash game option, maybe a GPP option though too, because as we're going to talk about later, the bats are not priced up in a way where I feel like you can build a good offense without having to overpay for a lot of different spots. So it's a pretty good day in that regard. I'm staying away from price in cash. I think maybe in GPPs there's some appeal there because right. The ownership number will be low. But in the second tier, not wild about really any of these arms. You got Steven Matz home against the Marlins. He's got health concerns. I mean, that's probably the best option. That's why he's the most expensive of this bunch. Masahiro Tanaka at the cell. He always deals with a hitter-friendly environment, so I don't think you have to worry about him from a park factor standpoint. He's 9,000, though, and the Ks haven't been there.
That's a good point.
Throughout this year. So I've got some hesitation with him, but I'm curious. What do you think of Masahiro Tanaka today?
I've just noticed that his road numbers are extremely dominant. I mean, he's obviously a lot more comfortable pitching away from Yankee Stadium. It seems like he's got a 1.32 ERA on the road with coupled with a 0.9 WHIP. So that's pretty dominant stuff. His K to walk rate is just a little bit over 4, and this is over 47 inning sample size. So you know, it's not just like he's gotten lucky a few times. He's been consistently solid on the road, and I just don't find the White Sox offense at this time to be all that threatening. It seems like they've kind of cooled off in a huge way from how they started earlier in the season. And it looks like the Yankees might be showing some signs of life right now. I don't know if I buy that for the long term, but right now it seems like they're ready to kind of pick up some wins, maybe gain some steam heading into the All-Star break. And I think with that, I think Tanaka might be a decent option, might be able to pick up the win for you, even if those Ks aren't what you'd like them to be.
As you look a little further down in this tier, you see Gio Gonzalez, who's been a disaster since a good April, 8,900 with a home start against Milwaukee. It's a Milwaukee team that strikes out a lot, but it's a Milwaukee team that also can draw its share of walks, especially when you're talking about matching them up against the lefty. I mean, they are a right-handed heavy lineup, so I think they can do a little damage against Gio.
Yeah, I was at the Brewers game when Gio was pitching 2 weekends ago and saw Chris Carter just mash that 3-run shot in the first inning, set the tone. So, yeah, I'm probably going to stay away from Gio tonight, personally.
You got Kenta Maeda going up against Chris Tillman at Dodger Stadium, 86 and 8,400 respectively. I think you can pick on the Dodgers a little bit. It's been a recurring theme, but I'm not using Maeda against the Orioles. Orioles offense against anybody, I'm just not doing it. Like even a top like front line ace type, I'm not throwing that pitcher against Baltimore right now. I think the name that I'm most intrigued by in the second tier is Jake Odorizzi, getting a matchup against the Angels, who are actually closer to a league average offense against righties than people might realize. The WOBA is really close to league average against righties. They don't strike out a lot, so that's part of the downside, but it is a home start for Odorizzi, and he's one of those guys that when he's on, he can provide sneaky value from those mid-tier price points.
Definitely. Yeah, I like that matchup a little bit as well. And I think, you know, you mentioned that the Angels are pretty disciplined at the plate, but I think Odorizzi's a guy that he can rack up the Ks in a pretty short order. You know, like sometimes he'll have a start, it only goes five innings, but it feels like he strikes out eight or nine guys or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of times it's a lack of efficiency, but he's still missing bats along the way. Other than that, I mean, the cheaper options today didn't really jump off the board. If I was going to go really off the wall for a big field GPP, Mike Foltynewicz against the Phillies, it's a road start. He's below 7,000 cost wise, does have strikeout stuff. The Phillies offense is bad. I think you can try to pick on them a little bit, but I'm talking like a $3 entry in a mass field GPP where you're just trying to get something offensively that puts you over the top and kind of hoping to catch lightning in the bottle with Folty.
Right. Yeah. I think beyond that, I'm probably not going to the super cheap. Well, I think, that's a good point, but at the same time, for me, we talked about how there are so many just kind of bargain deals on bigger name bats today that it's a pretty soft cap. You feel like you can stack your lineup pretty well, even if you use a more expensive pitcher. So I'm probably just going to go the safer route on the pitchers tonight, but I like your point on Folty going against the Phillies. I mean, they're a team that can definitely just go blank for a whole game. It's definitely an option there.
So let's take a look position by position, talk about some varying hitter options for different price points. And I'm curious, who do you like the most behind the plate? If you get one call today at the catcher spot, who do you throw in there?
I'm going to go with Wilson Ramos of the Nationals going against the Brewers and Zach Davies. Zach Davies been a pretty good pitcher this year, kind of a nice surprise story, but most of his success has really come at home as opposed to on the road when he has a 5.49 ERA, a 1.63 whip. So Ramos, he's the third most expensive catcher on the board tonight at 3,300, so that's still pretty affordable, all things considered. He went hitless last night, but in looking through his game log, he hasn't had consecutive hitless games since June 11th and 12th, so I like his chances of getting back on the board tonight against Davies when Davies is on the road.
Yeah, there's a few different catchers I like as well. It's actually a good night in terms of the matchups. I mean, Wilson Ramos, that LASIK in the offseason seems to have helped considerably. Seeing the ball makes it a lot easier to hit the ball, as we've found over time. But the other catchers I'm interested in, if you want to save some money at the position, Travis d'Arnaud is only 2,200. Hits a little low in the order, but it's a righty-lefty matchup against Wei-Yin Chen. D'Arnaud's punished lefties going back to last year, so it's a nice spot for him. Wellington Castillo gets a lefty at home at Chase Field. It's Christian Friedrich, a guy that misses his spots often. I mean, he could put everything together at some point, but from a DFS standpoint, still a pitcher I try to pick on when he goes into a more hitter-friendly environment. Beef is only 2,700 today. And I think Buster Posey at 3,300, even though it's against a righty in Tyler Chatwood, I think he makes some sense as well. It's a rare day where I have about four catchers, and Wilson Ramos is definitely one of them. Four catchers that I'm definitely thinking about to varying degrees. Moving over to first base today, it seems like the kind of day where you pay up. I mean, you can get Paul Goldschmidt at 4,100 against Friedrich. David Ortiz is 4,200. And because of some of the values at other positions, I'm comfortable doing that. The other name that caught my eye, though, is Kendrys Morales at 3,100. Going up against R.A. Dickey in Toronto, it just seems like Morales has really settled in at the plate recently. Get a high over-under in that game of 9.5. And I think he's one of those players that it was only a matter of time before he started to hit again, because last year he was one of the more underrated bats in the league.
Right. And like you said, now, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone as locked in as he's been in the last couple of weeks. The power is really showing up in huge bunches. So for his price to be sticking at 3,100, going against a soft tossing knuckleballer, I think that's a lot of favorable factors going his way. So I really like that pick as well. And for me, I'm gonna probably try to go at Anibal Sanchez a little bit. So I'm going to go with Mike Napoli. Same price as Morales, 3,100. I just I like the idea of using some Indians today against Sanchez in general. Napoli's a guy that's going to be hitting cleanup most likely. He had a pair of extra base hits last night, including his 17th home run of the year. So 3,100 for a cleanup hitter going against a really soft pitcher. I think that's a really nice steal there as well.
Yeah, might get a lot of opportunities with runners on base today. So I think you could see the case for stacking Indians. But if you just want some exposure, Napoli is an option if you want to save a little bit of money at first compared to going with some of those top options that I mentioned. At second, there's two guys I like. One is in the Cleveland lineup. It's Jason Kipnis, only 3,000 today. The BVP crowd's not going to like that call because the numbers overall against Anibal Sanchez have not been good in Jason Kipnis's career.
Right.
But it's important. It's like we talked about before, pitchers and hitters, players change over time. So if you look at what happened previously, to me it doesn't matter if a pitcher is broken, if a hitter makes adjustments to his swing. It's one of those things that it's a small sample size regardless. So I always find BVP to be more of a problem, more of a thing that I would look at as a secondary reason to use a player, something that would break a tie at best, as opposed to something I would use to guide a decision entirely to target or to avoid a player. But if you really don't like the Kipnis call, I like Devin Travis and you like him too. What do you like about him today going up against Chris Young?
I think you basically gave the answer right there. He's going against Chris Young. Chris Young has just been terrible on the road this year. He's got an 8.53 ERA on the road. And what else? He leads the major leagues in home runs allowed at 22 over just 57.2 innings of work. So,
I've never seen that before. Is that possible? Is that real?
It is when you're Chris Young and you're just serving up four home runs per outing or something like that, and it seems like he's very likely to do that sort of thing. And up in Toronto, so Travis is going to be hitting in that home park against a pitcher that's terrible on the road. You know, he's only at 2,700 too, which kind of surprised me given the matchup. You'll want to take a look at the lineup so before locking it in, because he's been bouncing around the lineup a little bit more of late. I think he dropped to eighth in the lineup recently, but especially if he's hitting like out of the two spot, I really like Devin Travis at 2,700. I like him regardless because I think the Blue Jays are going to be able to push across a bunch of runs no matter what. But especially if he's hitting it at the two spot, I really like Travis at 2,700.
It's just amazing to me that Chris Young has been this bad. Now, his pitch mix is a little bit different. He's throwing the slider more than ever. He's throwing it 51.3% of the time. More than half the time, he's throwing sliders. Very unusual. Typically, more of like a 58% rate on that. At times, earlier in his career, he threw the fastball like 70% of the time. But I think in more recent years, that's fallen off because he's just doesn't have as much life on that pitch as he used to. But yeah, it's a disaster spot for him. And I've never seen that many home runs allowed in such a limited volume of innings. But Chris Young is getting it done. About 25% of the fly balls he's allowing right now are clearing the fence for a home run. It's astonishing. It's like an elite hitter's hot home run to fly ball rate is what he has done over the course of this season. Moving over to the hot corner, who do you like at third today?
I'm going to go with Michael Franco. He's really started to turn things around. I have a ton of Michael Franco shares in season long, so he's a guy I pay a lot of attention to. And he was a little bit of a disappointment, I'd say, in May and parts of June. But it really seems like he's locked in now. I mean, he's over the last 2 weeks slashing .367, .466, .714. That's a really impressive number. Going against Folti, Like we mentioned earlier, Folti might be in for a decent start tonight because of what's around Franco, but I think Franco can still get his regardless of what else is going on around him. So at 3,300, not a huge price tag on him for a guy that's just been really locked in of late. I really try to go with the hot hand a lot of the time. So Franco, a guy that I know has that pop upside as well. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, he's got pop with a low K rate too, which I think is a lot of the appeal. And if you look at his splits against righties even, I think he's roughly a top 10 option at third base, even though it's a same-handed platoon split for Franco today. So I think that could be a nice call, especially when you can consider that, you know, Nolan Arenado has the matchup against Bumgarner, Adrian Beltre gets David Price. Although for Beltre, he handles lefties very well, and he's actually handled David Price very well in his career too. Again, the BVP kind of a secondary thing to consider. I looked at it just to wonder if Price had somehow just been really good against them, but he hasn't been. You're talking about a guy that has like a 950 range OPS against lefties going back to the start of last season. So if you want a contrarian, cheap third base option with a good matchup, Adrian Beltre might scratch that itch. I like Travis Shaw at the same price, 2,600 against AJ Griffin. It's a home matchup for the Red Sox. Over under in that game is 9, so I could see Shaw doing a bit of damage in that one as well. And if this game is not impacted by rain, we'll talk about the weather in just a few minutes. Danny Valencia at 3,400 against Tommy Malone is my favorite play today at third base, but that game has probably the most severe weather concerns. So with that, you got to keep an eye on the weather leading into lineup lock tonight.
Right, right. And so with that, moving on to shortstop, who are you thinking about over there?
Yeah, short today, I mean, this is another option looking at the A's game. It's Marcus Semien. If they move him up in the order again against Tommy Malone, I think that's a great value play at the shortstop position. I think the concern is, again, same as it is with Valencia. There's a high probability of that game at least being delayed. 2,800, though, is a bargain if you're looking at Semien. If that game looks like it's going to get rained out or significantly delayed, Francisco Lindor against Anibal Sanchez at 3,200 makes a lot of sense. So if you don't go full Indian stack, if you want to go some combination of Lindor and Kipnis or Lindor and Napoli or Kipnis and Napoli, I think that could make a lot of sense if you want to get exposure to some of the other weak pitchers out there.
Right. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. It seems like Lindor for 3,200, I mean, that's almost like 1,000 under what we've seen him at. So for his price to be that low going against Sanchez, a guy that we've picked on a decent bit during this podcast, you know, that really tough to go wrong there. I like Troy Tulowitzki for the same reasons I like Devin Travis tonight going against Chris Young. He's only 3,100, so that's really kind of a nice steal. What do you make of Danny Espinosa right now? I mean, he might be the hottest hitter going, but and he's only 3,100, but, you know, do you think that that's just a bit of a mirage? Or, I mean, obviously those type of numbers aren't fully sustainable, but do you think he's making a legitimate turnaround?
If you look at Espinosa, before he got hurt and had a couple just really bad years trying to play through shoulder injuries and got bounced around between the big leagues and AAA, he's intriguing because he has power. He's a low average, kind of decent OBP sort of guy, good defender. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at him as a legitimate, like, decent, good hitter. Now, it's just a ridiculous streak that he's on right now. I don't think he's as good as he has been in the last month. I don't think he's as bad as he was in April when everybody was clamoring for Trey Turner.
Right.
So I like him okay at that price point because I don't think Zach Davies is the kind of guy you need to fear at all. I think he's generally a lower K rate type starter. At least he's not overpowering.
Right.
So I think that bodes well for someone like Espinosa. I think he's a viable option right now. Hits a little low in the order, but someone you could throw in there in GPPs and probably get a pretty good result. In the outfield, I like Bryce Harper a lot today against Zach Davies. He's only 3,800. I mean, I like Bryce Harper pretty much every day, but a few hundred bucks below the expected cost. So I think you could go with some combination Harper and Espinosa or Harper and one of the other Nats bats if you want to get some extra looks at Zach Davies. Like in the outfield, though, there's a good slew of value options. You got Yasmani Tomas at 2,500. Much like I like Goldie and Beef, Tomas might be right there with them. So you could maybe get all three of those guys in. Tomas is only 2,500. He's handled lefties very capably going back to last season. OPS right around 800 last year. He's up above 1,000 so far in 2016 against Southpaws. Yoenis Cespedes is only 3,200 against Wei-Yin Chen. Wei-Yin Chen's been a big disappointment to me this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think he can carve up the Mets offense a little bit, but Cespedes is the guy that's going to give him the most trouble. So as long as you're not using Wei-Yin Chen, I think Cespedes at 3,200 is a nice discounted price. And then Miguel Sano at 2,800. Again, weather is the main concern between the Twins and the A's, but Sano has pounded lefties since he came up to the big leagues. 2,800 is a very nice price break for a guy that has a lot of raw power.
Yeah, I'm huge on Sano tonight. I really hope that game ends up getting played up. The weather misses Target Field at least a little bit because Sano at 2,800, I think, is one of the better plays on the board tonight. For me, I'm going to go with some other cheap outfield options just to throw out there. Hyunsoo Kim of the Orioles going against Kenta Maeda. He'll be in the lineup because he's lefty going against the right-handed pitcher. Should be hitting second in the order. Kim generally doesn't have a ton of extra base upside, which is kind of what you would want. But at the same time, he hits so consistently. Like, he's a good bet to slap three singles and score a run in a given game. So I like his plate discipline and his ability to drive the ball to all fields, really. He's shown to be very capable of doing that recently. So I like him at 2,700. Alex Dickerson, I think he draws a pretty favorable matchup in Arizona, going against a guy like Zach Godley, who is this like his first start in the bigs this year? Or
I think it might be, because I know he was called up and he worked out of the bullpen previously. He may have had one other spot start, but he's not a pitcher you worry about at all. I mean, I think he can be very prone to contact, and we saw him pitch last year and he pitched reasonably well, 3.19 ERA, 1.25 WHIP. But I would be much more inclined to pick on him on a night like tonight where he's not fully stretched out. Could be more of a bullpen game
right.
for Arizona. Even if Godley comes in and gets nine outs pretty effectively, you might get six innings against the Arizona bullpen.
And you got to like that.
Yeah, it's a really kind of sneaky way to go. But Padres are priced up. Dickerson's one of the cheaper options I think that you can go with. So definitely worth thinking about going after the Arizona pitching tonight. I think that makes a lot of sense. Anybody else in the outfield that you like?
I'm a huge Nelson Cruz guy in general. I find it hard to not try to fit him into one of my lineups on a given night. I always feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to provide a nice return. So I think he's at 3,700 tonight, going against a lefty in Dallas Keuchel. I just like that matchup a lot when he gets to go up against a left-handed pitcher, and he's not ridiculously overpriced. I mean, still on anything under 4K for Cruz on a given night is something that I'll definitely tend to take a pretty serious look at here. So I'm going to go with Cruz, Kim, and Dickerson as sort of my mix of outfielders right now for tonight.
So if you had to pick one chalk play for today, who would it be?
That's tough because there are a couple matchups that we like so much. Probably going to go with either Mike Napoli or Devin Travis. I like either of those guys just because of the pitching that they're going to be facing, I think, is so favorable, so in their advantage. So I think either of those guys are locks to me going tonight. How about yourself?
I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between Kipnis and Goldie. I think I'd go Goldie just because he's got such an amazing track record against lefties overall, and just he pounds the ball home too. So
right.
Edge to Goldie, but Kipnis is right there for me. Again, I'm not concerned about the BVPs against Sanchez because Anibal Sanchez seems pretty broken. And I think part of the appeal of Goldie is that it's part of my favorite stack of today. I think the Diamondbacks are my preferred stack, especially when you think about the prices on Castillo and Yasmani Tomas. I mean, like those two things right there just kind of put it over the top as far as me looking at Arizona as the stack I'm most interested in.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that there's a lot of good upside with Arizona. And like you said, those price points for guys like Tomas or even Goldschmidt, you know, 4,000 or 4,100 is like totally doable for Goldschmidt. So I really like that pick a lot. I think Goldschmidt, I have some shares of him in season long as well. Huge fan. And I think he's going to be able to get it done tonight for sure.
So you like the Jays against Young, you like the Indians against Sanchez, I like the D-backs, I'm in agreement on those two as well. I think people are going to be going after the Red Sox today against A.J. Griffin too. That might even be the most chalky of all stacks out there because Boston's offense is just that good.
Right.
As far as the over-unders go, Jays Royals at 9.5, so you're going to see a lot of ownership on those two teams. Rangers Red Sox at 9, and that's with David Price throwing for Boston, so a lot of that's probably pinned on Griffin and the Rangers today. Mm-hmm. 9.5 is the over-under between the A's and Twins, but that game has the most severe weather concerns, perhaps one to maybe avoid or just watch very closely prior to lineup lock as the meteorologists out there can get a better read on what's likely to happen over the course of game time. But the early indications there are possible delays and maybe even a postponement depending on how things progress over these next few hours. Padres D-backs at 9.5, too. That's where the appeal, of course, of going after those Arizona hitters comes from. But as you mentioned, could get some shares of the Padres, too. Alex Dickerson, one of the cheaper options, assuming he gets the nod today for the Padres. MLB season is here, and that means daily fantasy baseball is in full swing. Go to FanDuel.com to play now. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stand under the salary cap, and sit back tonight and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1, and anyone can play. We're talking tournament strategy here, John. How are you shaking things up for your tourneys today?
I think Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to probably ride with Tanaka, and that's probably as low as I'll go on the board as far as pitchers are concerned. Some of the other guys, you know, like you said, Kenta Maeda, tough matchup going against the Orioles. Tillman, kind of vice versa. He's been a little bit off in his last couple of starts after a really, really kind of great beginning to the season, so I'm probably not going to use him. Odorizzi is another guy that we mentioned that there would be a possibility, but I feel very strongly about Tanaka just based on his strong road performance this year and going against a team in the White Sox that I'm just not very afraid of. Even if in the run support might be a bit of a factor because Rodon is a lefty. The Yankees are so left-hand reliant in their lineup. But at the same time, I think, you know, maybe even like a guy like Didi Gregorius, who has the strange thing where he's a lefty, but he hits left-handed pitching a lot better. Maybe they'll generate some runs that way. Hopefully that'll be enough run support for Tanaka to be able to get it done and get the win. That's kind of what I'm banking on because his K potential isn't as good as some of the other guys like Odorizzi.
Yeah, initially I thought I had to go to the Odorizzi level to get a good tournament lineup in, but the more I kind of messed around with various combinations, I realized you could play Bumgarner in tournaments. I mean, he's the preferred cash option for me, but I'm going to try to build my GPP lineups around Madison Bumgarner today as well. And part of this is because I don't really like the matchups of the upper and mid-tier arms, the price matchup. I'm not crazy about that Steven Matz matchup either. I think in a GPP setting, I like Marcell Ozuna quite a bit. I think you're going to have a lot of ownership on Giancarlo Stanton because the price is still down.
Sure.
Of the two, I like Ozuna better right now because the form's been better. Health might not be a factor for him, whereas with Stanton, I'm still not convinced he's completely healthy. He just doesn't look like he's snapped back into being the Giancarlo Stanton we're accustomed to yet.
Right, yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, Stanton's a good... I mean, even last week, Dave O'Brien, who writes for the Braves for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, you know, tweeted out something to the effect of, do you remember when every Stanton at bat was must-watch, and now it's just meh? And that, it's kind of true. I mean, it's a little bit of a harsh thing to say, but at the same time, I mean, Stanton hasn't been that same guy this year, so you might be onto something in terms of the health factor there.
I mean, he's 26, so I don't think it's regression. I think it's just something that we don't know about. And maybe the All-Star break is just what he needs to rest up, get healthy, get back on track, and have a massive second half. I mean, I was talking to Chris Liss about this yesterday. Is there any player in the league that you think is more likely, or at least within the range of possibilities, to give you like 25 home runs after the break? Like, he's capable of doing that. Like, that's absolutely still there. So he looks like a good high-end sort of buy low in your season-long leagues. And in DFS, I think you keep picking your spots. And for GPPs, I like Stanton and Ozuna more in those scenarios than in cash games. I think if you're going to use one, Ozuna over Stanton still makes the most sense. Chances of rain here as of about 1:30 Eastern time. We've got Pittsburgh and St. Louis looking at about a 60% chance of rain there. Oakland and Minnesota, more like a 65 to 70% chance. And that one just sounds like the storms are going to be more prevalent around the ballpark throughout game time, whereas the Pittsburgh-St. Louis game might be a slight delay, but looks like it's less likely to have a significant problem there. Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Daily Fantasy Podcast brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Remember that first-time FanDuel users that make a deposit of $25 or more via RotoWire can get 6 months of complimentary access. Check out RotoWire on your own. You can go to rotowire.com/pod, rotowire.com/pod, get a free 10-day trial. No credit card required. That's going to wrap things up. I am not Jake Letarski, Derek Van Riper.
You liar.
I know.
And I'm John McKechnie. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny McKex.
Yeah, again, pull over to the side of the road. It's at Johnny, JohnnyMckechs. If you want to follow John, I'm at Derek Van Riper. The RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast will return Wednesday with Benny Ricciardi and James Seltzer. Have a great day.